What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Tactics Podcast. We are working to unite the Gulf South to advance the kingdom of Christ. Today on the show, we have Marcus Pittman from Lore. Marcus, thank you so much for coming to hang out with us, man. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So Marcus and a team of dedicated professionals have launched Lore.tv. And I've been kind of in the fringes of Lore.tv for a little while now, paying attention to what's been going on. But Marcus, I really wanted to have you come in and talk about why we need this at this point in our history, why a product, why an organization like Lore matters. So that's kind of where I'm hoping to go. And my desire is that everybody who's in here with us, who's listening to the conversation, will then leave and go subscribe.
Yeah.
Okay. That's my goal here. So yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. So I think we just start by saying, what is Lore, Marcus? What is it? What are we talking about here?
Yeah. So started in 2020, after my film got deleted off of Amazon Prime. I had a pro-life film. And it got deleted off of Amazon Prime. And then before that, I was leading advertising for all of PureFlix's ads and advertising. And so they're spending $1 million a month advertising to, 50-year-old women. I just was like, this is crazy. And so went to go make my own movie, and we were going to put it up on Amazon Prime, and then Amazon Prime deleted it. I was like, all right, well, we got a real big problem here, because most of the Christian film industry, conservative film industry, targets women, and there's not any real masculine entertainment or movies or documentaries really for the Christian filmmakers to go to sell their product. And so that's when I was like, well, what are the two biggest problems with film industry for younger filmmakers? And it's funding and distribution. At the time, you could still get your film funded on Kickstarter, but there's nowhere to play the movie once it's funded, right? So a lot of movies get funded on Kickstarter, they get made, and then they wind up on Netflix somewhere deep in the algorithm where you have to search for it if they get that lucky. And most of the time, nothing ever happens and they wind up on YouTube for free after being funded. And so it wasn't a good model. We started Lore, and we were like, well, what happens if like Netflix and Kickstarter has a non-woke baby, and where you can actually fund the movies that'll stream on the platform? And so that turned into Lore. It was about a 2-year process of figuring what that looks like as we were raising capital for our first launch. And but basically the way it works is we're using video game microtransactions, which is, we call it loot. And so if your kids probably have played Fortnite or Roblox, and they use Robux or V-Bucks for Fortnite. That's $100 billion industry, video game microtransactions. And we thought, man, like if people are just spending $100 billion all around the world funding costumes and extra lives, they'd
imagine if they could buy something real, right?
Yeah, something that lasts for multiple generations, which is stories, right? And so we just use that same model. Basically every month, your monthly subscription, a portion of your monthly subscription gets returned to you in what we call loot. And then every week of your monthly subscription, you get to spend that loot and fund projects. And then once a project is funded, it streams on the platform exclusively for us for 2 years. And then in return, you get to pay the artists what they wanted for the project. The filmmaker can get their project funded, or at the very least, a lot of filmmakers now they have content that hasn't been distributed anywhere. And so they're funding it just to build a name and an audience for themselves, Hollywood doesn't allow you to do, unless you sign your name in blood on some sort of contract somewhere. And so what we found was really just there's a lot of money going into conservative media now. So you have Daily Wire, Angel, The Chosen, you know, just all this money, but it's all going towards multi-million dollar projects that still target women. Even the Daily Wire is making, you know, they just did, what's it called? Bentkey, which is just a way to get women to buy content for their preschoolers. Right. So everything's still going towards that female market. And there's not really any content that's really for, what we say is like for college age kids, whether you're men or women or not, but, just college age students. And so, you know, 4 years, it's been 4 years since we launched. We've read a lot of books. We've studied entertainment. We've talked to filmmakers, talked to producers and directors in the Christian film space, so kind of saw what they wanted. And what we found was there's no real way for, I guess you could say, the blue collar film creators to really build a name for themselves in the conservative film space. Cause everybody's investing money on the later, on the big box office success, yeah. But nobody's investing in the tools to regularly create those successes, which is why you have, you know, Passion of the Christ came out, you know, 20 years ago, I think, this year. And then I think after the Passion of the Christ, we had maybe The Chosen. And
right.
So 20 years late, 20 some years later, we got The Chosen. So our successes are super rare. And the reason that is just really, we don't have a way to incubate and train new talent and have them build a name and audience for themselves. So we came at it as, let's just be the complete opposite of everybody else. Let's think in terms of smaller budget, independent films, you know, and that's been really successful for us over the past month or so as we've transitioned to more of that micro budget funding for content. So,
yeah. So then I would say, like, I bet you that your content creators that come to you with like ideas and concepts, this sounds like something that would be exciting to them because now they've got an opportunity to pitch.
We have a massive queue of filmmakers just waiting to be put on the list. So
really?
The only thing, like, content's not a problem because there's literally nobody making content like we're doing. I mean, like, we have a show called Barely Biblical, which is,
I've seen that
second,
one.
Yeah. The second episode's funding now. It's animated teddy bears reenacting the most violent Old Testament Bible stories and blood, you know, all the blood is just stuffing. And, you know, the guy who made it like works for Nickelodeon and Disney. And he said, you know, I just want a film me and my sons can watch together. And they're, you know, preteen age, you know? So, you know, he's like, I just think it'd be a great opportunity, for my sons to be able to understand like the violence of the Old Testament in a fun way. That uses cartoon violence, and like circumcision is whether the bears have a nip in their tag or not. It's super smart. Like, no details left unturned, but it's done in a way that you don't feel, you know, uncomfortable. You don't have to search for the remote, you know,
sure.
When you're
sure.
So we just finished a script for a show called The Lesbian and the Lumberjack.
I saw that one getting previewed.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're hopefully be able to fund that. We're waiting to hit a certain subscriber goal before we can fund that. And then, but that's about a lesbian who gets flat tire in rural Oregon, on her way home to Portland. And she realizes she's not gay. She's never met a real man before. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So there's that. And then we just finished, Jason Farley, our chief content officer, just finished a script for, we were trying to think like, what would, like, could we purposely make the worst Christian movie ever made? And that was sort of like the idea because we were like, you know, people take Christian film too seriously. Like, you know, we take it way too seriously and we, it's too precious to us and it really shouldn't be that at all. So we came up with a pitch, and he finished the script for it for comedy. But it's called Feds and Fins. Feds and Fins. And it's about, these mutant FBI agent sharks who go and terrorize a youth group one night, because they're not communist. It's not a communist, church. So it's really stupid. It's really dumb. And it's like, I think like there's five kids in it and they're called, Martin Luther. It's Luther, Sproul, Martin, Lloyd, and Jones are the name of the,
kids
in it. And it's, you know, there's a scene where, you know, one of the kids is, bleeding to death because he got eaten by a shark, and he's like, share the gospel with me. And so he tries to go through the four spiritual laws and starts off by saying, you know, God has a wonderful plan for your life. And the guy's like, I don't think I have time to worry about that. Just get to the good part. So it's so stupid. It's really poor and corny, but it's in, what we found is it's in the style of the trauma films, which like Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, that sort of thing. And as we started researching trauma, we realized that you can look online and see that all these cheap, awful, terrible, on purpose movies that built trauma in the 1970s led to the creators of South Park, and it led to several Oscar winners, and James Gunn, who's heading the DC Universe right now and did Guardians of the Galaxy. They all started at trauma, making terrible B movies. And so we were like, we don't have a Christian version of trauma. Right? We don't have a you know, independent filmmakers who haven't built a name for themselves that can just make stupid funny movies and, you know, and find that audience, because we take Christian movies too seriously and precious. Yeah. And when you think of movies as having to be a gospel track, you have to treat them very carefully. But if you just think, no, they could be stupid, Christians can make stupid movies, they can make dumb cartoons, they can just, you know, tell jokes and, you know, not have to have a serious gospel message in it, then you free up your artists to really just just to be more free and to make what they want. And that's really what's missing from Hollywood and the Christian film industry right now.
And it gives people an opportunity to try it and fail. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Just give somebody the space to, hey, I have this idea, let me swing at it. And either it funds or it doesn't. Either they've got it or they don't. I mean, that in and of itself is a great opportunity for people.
Yeah, that's the key thing, I think, is when you start getting to, like, you know, Marvel movies, you're looking at like $200 million budgets. Like that, there's no risk allowed in a $200 million budget. Everything has to be to the formula. There has to be the certain standards.
Unless it's the woke risk, you know. They can lose money on the woke stuff.
Yeah. But in terms of just like creative freedom and stuff, they really don't have any sort of play. And since that's the only stuff making money in the movie theaters right now are the big budget multi $100 million projects, then there's no risk in Hollywood anymore. And so that's causing a lot of problems with artists. And then, like you said, like they push the woke stuff. So basically, you know, they're doing their woke Pureflix movies, and we're doing our Pureflix movies, and they all have a gospel message at the end of it. False gospel, obviously.
Right.
But yeah, so they just become preachy propaganda films, and they really lose sight of the story.
That's a great way to put it.
Propaganda, but like the better the story, the more you hide the propaganda, right?
Right.
And so that's sort of what we found, and it's a problem all across the board. And we're the only ones that have the guts to really go, we're going to just do something completely different in the opposite direction of everybody.
Yeah. So if somebody is listening to this and they're thinking, I'm going to go subscribe to Lore and immediately get Marvel level content delivered straight to my doorstep, they've got the wrong impression.
Yeah. You're not going to get that. You're going to get more like early days Adult Swim. If you think of you know, like the Aqua Teen Hunger Force stuff, we just funded a whole series. And I believe we're actually the first to do this. I'm going to just claim it because I haven't seen it anywhere else. And I think we're the first streaming platform to launch exclusively an entire season of a show that's built with AI. So
really,
so it's called Florida Lee. It's not completely written by AI. Like, it's not.
Oh, yeah, no, Fleur de Lys, I've seen this show. Yeah. It's based in Louisiana. Voices, it's my people.
Yeah, some of the voices are actually. He's from East Texas, actually.
Oh, look at that.
So Ethan Hill is the creator of that, and he uses AI for voice acting. And then he uses AI to help generate background images and stuff like that with other really high detail, complex stuff that he doesn't have time for. And he does the whole show for like $200 an episode. And it's really popular. Somebody just spent $300 on our platform yesterday and funded the entire season.
Wow. That's
so awesome. The entire rest of the season. So it's been really successful, and yeah, I'll say we're the first streaming platform to put on a show that's at least knowingly AI. Others have used AI in their show as a joke in a single episode or something like that, but we actually use it as a paintbrush, not as a showrunner. That's the difference.
As a showrunner. They're not. Yeah. Terminator's not picking your show themes at this point.
Yeah, no. We're just using it where it makes sense.
That's cool, man. Yeah, and, so it's sort opportunities.
Of, yeah, and it's sort of, you know, it's sort of kind of created a sort of really unique heart and feel to the show that I don't think it would be the same if you got an influx of money and started using real voice actors and stuff. I just don't think it would be the same show anymore.
Sure.
So it's sort of like South Park using construction paper, right? It's like, well, that's... Why would they do construction paper? Well, it's what they had.
Right.
You know, and it built a billion-dollar brand, right? So,
right.
So, you know, that's the question is, you know, looking back, we can say, oh, yeah, I would have invested in South Park when it was just construction paper. And truth is, you probably wouldn't. You probably wouldn't.
That's right. No, that's right.
And so, you know, the left is way more passionate about investing money in stories before they find an audience than we are. We only want to invest once all the liberals have come in and brought in all the capital to make things happen. And we're always very far behind.
Let's talk about that, Marcus. Why do you think that is? Why is it that just generally speaking, conservatives and Christian conservatives are so poor at investing in the arts, whereas the progressives and the liberals are out in front? Do they just know the strategy wins and they're better at it than us?
Well, I think conservatives are very facts-based. So whether it comes to our investment, we're very facts-based. How many subscribers do you have? You know, what, all these sort of things. Whereas the left is very vision-focused, forward-thinking dreamers. And so, you know, Shapiro says facts don't care about your feelings all the time. But the truth is, like, feelings don't care about your facts. Like, you know, that's why that's why you can't convince people of the truth of the Bible, because their emotions need to be changed first, right? Before they come to an understanding of the truth of the Bible. So liberals use stories to convince people of their agenda, which is why you talk about like abortion, right? So conservatives go, well, you know, rape is only 0.1% of all abortions, blah, 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 blah. And then the left comes in and goes, yeah, but like that one person is going to have to stare into the face of the child and see her rapist. And so that's why abortion should be legal all over, right? So they're way more story driven than we are. But yeah, I think, yeah, there is a big disconnect between conservative capital and liberal capital in terms of how they invest and why they invest. And, but I, you know, I use this as an example. It's like, if I came to you and said, I want to start a TV network, that's going to play music videos of bands, in the 80s, you would look at me and go, well, what in the world is a music video? Right. And I would respond, I was like, well, we have 12 of them. There's 12
we're gonna
of them.
Play them all day.
All day, the same 12 music videos all day. We're gonna make a whole network based off of that. Like, most conservatives would never ever, they would go, you'd never get that audience. You'd never, like, you know. But that's how MTV got started, with 12 music videos. They looped all day, and then bands eventually started making their own music videos and sending them in, and they would play whatever they had because they didn't have it. They were like, those things didn't exist. And so they basically created the genre from scratch, created the whole brand, everything, from scratch. And, you know, and it was liberals that invested in it. And, you know, that's how you get the MTV generation. So, you know, I say that MTV is the most educational children's indoctrination program of all time, right? So
yeah.
people look at MTV and go, well, that's entertainment, that's not educational. Well, it certainly was, because they caught a whole generation of people, the MTV generation. So it was most certainly way more influential than PBS was, and it's certainly more influential than conservative documentaries have been. So the point is that entertainment is really what changes the culture. And you never change a culture by creating entertainment for grandmas. From Woodstock to Elvis to MTV, Cartoon Network, Nickelodeon, everything is built for much younger generations.
Right.
And conservatives haven't figured that out yet. We want to make content for the parents that the kids they want their kids to see, as right. opposed to just saying, well, we're just going to make good content for the kids, and the parents will get it because the kids want it. Which is why cereal's on the lower the more expensive cereal's on the lower shelf, right? But also, that doesn't necessarily mean that your children's content is going to be bad or inherently evil. Like, my parents bought, you know, me all sorts of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle merchandise, but they never watched Turtles with me. Then they bought me Nintendo, and they never played video games with me. So it is okay for us to make content for younger generations. But I think a lot of that boomer mentality is, well, I have to just invest in stuff that I'm going to enjoy. So I'll invest in the cruise line because I'll enjoy the cruise. But it's never, I'm going to invest in something that my great grandchildren are going to need 20 years from now. I'm not going to
It's about a forward thinking strategy. We're thinking about generations down the road. So really,
yeah, and liberals are really good at that.
Right. No, we're terrible at it.
Yeah. Right.
We have been terrible at it for the last 100 years, but it's,
right.
And when we're thinking about a product like Lore, what we're really doing here, I think, is saying, hey guys, we're trying to just push the stinking boulder down the hill. And if we can just get this thing going,
yeah,
if we can just get the ball rolling on this, we think that give some people some time, we're going to be able to start creating some pieces that are going to be the game changers. But the problem is that we don't even have the foundation yet. Like, we don't have I heard you describe it this way one time, like there's the late night comedy clubs in New York City where the guys who are just trying to make it can show up and give it a shot. You know, maybe they're going to do great.
Conservatives want to invest in Netflix because that's where all the comedy specials get aired. But they don't want to build the comedy clubs where the specials are worked on and where they're developed and where the talent is created. Right. So we see ourselves kind of like the underground comedy club. For Christian conservative entertainment
that's great.
Well, that's how, like, one of the most influential TV shows of all time in terms of like changing the culture is Saturday Night Live, right? And Lorne Michaels built out this entire pipeline that starts in smoky improv comedy clubs where people are doing improv sketch comedy and not even getting paid. And in some instances, the comedians are paying to be able to take the classes and stuff. Right. And then Lorne Michaels comes, sees a few that are really talented, puts them on Saturday Night Live for like 3 years before they're even a real cast member. And they have to live in New York City getting paid, you know, $1,000 a week. They're renting closets in people's other cast members' homes to live in, sleep in. But eventually you get Adam Sandler's and Tina Fey's who become massive multimillionaire producers. I think Adam Sandler is the wealthiest cast member of all time now.
Wow.
So that whole pipeline has to be made. Saturday Night Live's had 50 years to make that. And one guy really that, you know, they say built the Constitution, Lorne Michaels built, they say Saturday Night Live has a constitution he wrote. But it took 50 years to build that thing.
Right.
And so, but also in the same respect, there's not a single comedian or major cultural influences that somehow hasn't got the approval of Lorne Michaels or gone through Saturday Night Live in some way, to build that name for themselves. The ones that didn't, like Colbert and Jon Stewart, they went on to do their own show. But they came from the same comedy clubs with the same cast members getting the same training, as some of the major Saturday Night Live guys. Right. So, yeah. so, they're all from the same underground place. And if I were to ask you, well, where's conservatives, where's the underground for conservatives? You couldn't think of it. One
doesn't exist. I think people want it to be like YouTube and podcasts, you know?
Right.
But you get so marginalized. So I own a marketing agency, right? So we put people on YouTube. This is what we do, like, with 60% of our day.
Right.
But it is so difficult to get your average YouTube piece of content out in front of the audience that actually would be interested
in it. Yeah, but that's because YouTubers don't make content for the audience. They have to make content for the algorithm.
Mm.
Right?
They're not
making content for the audience. They're making content for the algorithm. That's why Mr. Beast is as huge as he is, because he's figured out the algorithm. He knows exactly what to put in his video and how long to make it and what thumbnails to use, because he's almost autistic in that way. In terms of, I think he said he studied YouTube 10,000 hours before actually posting a video. He just would he would post two videos with different color thumbnails and figure out which color thumbnails work. Like, I mean, he just went through the whole thing for like 10,000 hours before he really started to grow his channel. But that's not making content for the audience.
Right.
Right.
Right. He's trying to make content to get himself out in front of people. It's a totally different dynamic.
The problem we found is because a lot of people ask us is like, well, if you're just making like cheap, low budget animation, why don't you just put that on YouTube? Well, the reason is because it takes about 5 years of grinding every day on YouTube to be able to really build up a channel size that's big enough. Mm-hmm. And filmmakers are working all day. Like they have to make content on the weekend. And they don't have that. They shouldn't have to take 5 years to get YouTube's approval if they're already working in Hollywood and doing stuff.
Right.
So what we're trying to do is just sort of be like, okay, what is one step above YouTube? What does that look like in terms of production value, in terms of just finding an audience right away? So that's sort of what we do, is we're trying to shortcut that process. And then of course YouTube can just delete your channel whenever they want. And then you're kind of just, you're back to school grounds.
They just decide they're done with you and then they kick you off of their platform.
What
we're really saying also is, hey, we're trying to build an alternative platform to be able to say, hey, you put your stuff here, you'll get paid for it, and you will come to an audience that is looking for you. They're looking for content options, new things out there that exist in the world, and they want to support you. Like, how many would you say shows have y'all put up on Lore so far? Like, what's been pushed out?
We don't categorize it as shows. We categorize it as pieces of content, because shows fund individually.
I see.
So we have about 50 different pieces of content. We have two documentary series. We have now two documentaries, feature length documentaries, but we also just funded like the first episode of Breaking Laws, which is where a guy named Joseph Granda is going to travel the country and he's going to break like the most ridiculous laws. Like, you know, I think the first episode is some town in Utah. It's illegal to share your vacuum with your neighbor. I think some law that got passed by traveling vacuum salesmen. I don't know, but they passed that law. So he's going to go and purposely film himself, break that law, and then turn himself into the police to see if they arrest him. That's going to be a really great show. And so that first episode just got funded. It's the first show that we've done that is going to go into production. So it starts production this month, and then the plan is for the episode to be done second week of May.
Oh, wow.
And then from there, the audience can decide if they want to see more.
Man, that's awesome.
And so that's pretty significant because it's impossible to get a pilot funded nowadays. For us to get a pilot funded through our subscribers is a big deal because with streaming, everything is entire series orders, right? You got to have all 10 episodes funded. There's no pilots. So it's very much a who do you know sort of thing.
Sure.
And there, because there's a lot less risk available right? So that's sort of what we think is, I mean, if we're just a pilot creating machine, that's really significant. A big deal because there isn't a pilot creation machine. So we're really proud of that, getting that episode funded.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What is some of the, so we talked about Barely Biblical. We got the Breaking Laws. What's some other like high hitting lore pieces of content that you guys have?
I think the most popular one right now is a documentary called Gothics. And so Gothics is about a documentary about a black Twitch streamer who streamed playing video games and stuff like that. And she basically said pretty much in passing in a tweet that, hey, I don't think you're racist if you don't think that the Little Mermaid should be black. and she got canceled by the mob. They took everything away from her. She became suicidal. And then it shows her basically like her rebirth of getting back into the streaming space as now black conservative political thinker. And so that's been the most successful actually just today. And this week, she's had a group of an angry Twitter mob called the Black Girl Gamers that have just relentlessly attacked her, and we've got like over 100 new subscribers because of them. And her and her trailer got like 500,000 views on Twitter this week, and so we've just kind of been like, we've just kind of been trolling them. I'll see if I can point this at the camera. We just launched this. I don't know if it'll be backwards or not, but it says unfollow Black Girl Gamers and get a free 7-day trial to Lore TV to watch the Gothics movie. We just shared that today.
That's
just kind
awesome.
Of diving in, and that's been really successful for us. So we want our artists to be free of the fear of the woke mob. So anytime a woke mob comes after us, we use it as an opportunity to show how we protect our artists from them. And they don't have to worry about being canceled. So, that's been really great.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So, if people want to subscribe, where do they go? How do they do it?
So if you go to LOOR.TV, you can subscribe there. At LOOR.TV, you can sign up, you get a free 7-day trial, you can watch stuff, but you also get your first allotment of loot as soon as you sign up, and you'll be able to fund a project with that. And then every week, every Tuesday morning, you'll get an email saying that
loot
you
day.
Have loot. Yeah, we call it loot day. And then you'll be able to fund projects, and the more subscribers we get, the faster content funds and the bigger budget productions we can do. I just encourage people to go and subscribe for 3 months, give it 3 months, and then see how a project that you're funding just grows in funding till it eventually premieres. It's very, really exciting too, especially once projects at like 90-95% and people are buying, we call it gold loot, where if you just want to donate $100 or $500 to the artist towards a project, you can do that. So once a project gets to about 90-95%, everybody starts funding and spending 100,000 loot and all this sort of crazy amount of, and then it gets funded really fast. And so it's really fun to watch. It's really fun to be a part of. It's really fun to be able to, you know, post on social media how much money you spent towards a particular project and also try to be the guy who spends the last loot to fund the project, be that guy.
Yeah.
Eventually we want to develop sort of like an award that you get when you're the guy that funds, that puts it over the edge. So last funder, the last looter is what we'll call it or something like that.
The last looter.
So it's really fun platform. We've just turned streaming into a video game. And you know, we've got reports of kids. Somebody took a photo of their kids mowing the lawn because they wanted to mow the lawn to be able to buy loot to be able to fund a Barely Biblical episode.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really great. Great to see. That's exactly what we want. And, you know, I think, you know, we've really built something really special and unique. And, you know, and now I think is the time really, if anybody's in your show is listening to, and they're accredited investor, to really hit us up. Cause now's the time to really throw gasoline on what we've built, and really grow, content subscribers and build out. We're going to build out our Roku streaming apps and those sort of things too over time.
So where would, so let's say we've got some investors, cause I mean, I could think about a couple of people on our list who probably are in that category. Where would they go to think about investing in Lore?
Yeah. So if you go to, lore.tv, on the very bottom there's an investor form. Just basically just fill that out. It's pretty simple, just name, phone number, whether you're accredited or not, that sort of stuff. And but just fill that out, and then I'll usually, anyone who says they're accredited on that form, I usually get back with them pretty quickly.
Awesome.
And yeah, so just go there. And you could also email me, marcus@lore.tv. And you could put that link in the email you're going to send the show out to. You can put my.
You're back. Oh, Marcus, it says, please refresh your page. Yes, sir.
Better?
And we're back.
Can you hear? Okay. Yeah, so you can put that email in the email you send out, and then the link and whatnot, and everybody can get a free 7-day trial for subscribing. And like I said, it's just a numbers game. The more subscribers we have, the faster content will fund. And then, like you said, it's pushing that boulder off the cliff. Like once it gets rolling, it's good. Like it's not going to stop. So
right. Yeah, that's great. All right, one more thing. What if we've got some guys who are thinking about content creation? We've got some folks who want to create something. They've got ideas. They have places to go inside of Lore.
Yeah, hit me up. There's also a creator tab at the bottom of the Lore TV website, the homepage. And so hit me up there. And then I'll connect you with Jason Farley. He's our chief content officer, and he works directly with the artists and filmmakers and stuff like that. So
that's great. Awesome. Marcus, thank you so much for hanging out, man. I appreciate your time. I hope that you get hundreds of new Lore subscribers as a result of this. And I appreciate all the work that you guys are doing to build something. I know it's a ton, takes a lot of effort. We appreciate you. And I'm looking forward to seeing what Lore is going to become over the next couple of years. So thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Guys, thank you all so much for tuning in for another episode of the Tactics Podcast. You can go to tacticscon.com to learn more about the conference, to sign up there, to find more pieces of content, and to find more great guys like Marcus to connect to. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Don't forget lore.tv. Go subscribe today, and we'll see you guys next time.